Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind and in your life, from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, let's clarify, as we always do for our new listeners, what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between their structure and their function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between that of the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients, rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but it's not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussive syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many, many other issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel syndrome, concussion, etc., by going to the Goldman Tripp website, www.goldmantripp.net. Click on the radio show icon, then scroll down and click the individual show by topic. There are now more than 40 shows available. You can also get the most recent show podcasts on our Robinhood Radio website itself in the on-demand section. The technology is incredibly convenient. Today, we're going to continue our exploration of the lungs and respiration. Again, it's a very large topic. And this time of year, when we're indoors in heated and insulated environments and just possibly getting less exercise than we ideally would, and we're likely having more exposure to colds and other respiratory illnesses, it's a really good time to think about respiratory health. Last time, we looked in detail at the anatomy of the lungs and respiratory system. Today, we're going to go into a bit more detail on some aspects of structure and function in the lungs and explore the physiology of how breathing works. But we're going to start with a brief review of that overall picture of the anatomy so you have it in your mind as we go forward. Recall that we have a pair of lungs that make it possible for us to breathe. Breathing, or more formally, respiration, is the process of inhaling oxygenated air, which then transfers the oxygen to our blood, and then exhaling deoxygenated air that contains the excess carbon dioxide delivered back to the lungs from the blood. The job of the lungs is primarily to deliver oxygen to the blood and remove CO2 from the blood through breathing. The special proximity of tiny blood vessels, called capillaries, to the lung air sacs, called alveoli, makes this possible. Oxygen, of course, is essential for all of our cells to live and function, and removal of excess CO2 is also essential for survival. Our airways carry fresh, oxygen-rich air down through the trachea, which is our main airway from our nose and mouth, and into the lungs via all the airway branches called bronchi during inhalation. They carry old, oxygen-depleted, carbon dioxide-rich air out of the lungs with exhalation. The alveoli sit like clusters of grapes or little balloons at the ends of the tiny bronchial airways, and the alveolar sacs are separated from each other by tiny elastic membranes, again like little balloons. Surrounding these alveoli are networks of tiny blood vessels called capillaries. These tiny blood vessels allow for direct gas exchange between the blood and the alveoli. This means that carbon dioxide can be released from the deoxygenated blood that has been returned by the capillaries and pass into the alveoli, and this carbon dioxide can then be exhaled from those little alveoli air sacs through the airways and out of our nose or mouth. Then, as we inhale new, fresh, oxygenated air through our nose and airways and down into the alveoli, the blood inside the capillaries can then absorb new oxygen from the alveoli from the fresh air just inhaled into the lungs. This oxygenated blood can then be delivered to the heart and then pumped out into the body. Each time the heart beats in a full cycle, oxygenated blood flows from the lungs to the heart and out into the body, and deoxygenated blood flows from the heart into the lungs to release carbon dioxide to be exhaled and then be re-oxygenated by our inhaled air. In order to understand the lungs and how they work, we need to review the basic function of the heart and great vessels in relationship to the lungs. The heart and lungs are deeply related and interdependent, beginning in the embryo. The early development of the heart and lungs are fully intertwined and codependent. The heart and lungs begin their development in the embryo in the region that will ultimately become the head. The early heart and lung buds descend together from the embryonic head into the chest. The creation of the chest cavity and subsequent expansion and development of the branches of the lungs is partly dependent on the space created by the growing heart itself. Recall that the heart is divided into four chambers separated by valves and membranes. There are two pairs of smaller chambers called atria and of larger chambers called ventricles. The atria sit on top of the ventricles. There is a right atrium and right ventricle, and a left atrium and left ventricle. The smaller atria receive blood from the major vessels. The larger ventricles receive the blood from their corresponding atria and then pump the blood out of the heart entirely into a different set of major vessels to be delivered to the appropriate areas of the body. The left side of the heart receives newly oxygenated blood directly from the lungs and pumps it out to the entire body, including the heart muscle itself, through the arteries. The right side of the heart receives deoxygenated blood from the great veins. The veins collect deoxygenated blood throughout the body and return it to the right atrium of the heart, that then pumps it out through the right ventricle back to the lungs through the pulmonary vessels. The word pulmonary refers to lungs. Once in the lungs, this venous blood can then be oxygenated and have the CO2 released, and then can be returned to the left atrium of the heart through a different set of pulmonary vessels to be dispersed out to the body again via the left ventricle. The pulmonary vessels have unique functions compared to the other great vessels that enter and leave the heart. Recall that arteries carry freshly oxygenated blood away from the heart and out into all the tissues where the cells use up the oxygen. recall that veins return deoxygenated blood to the heart. When that deoxygenated blood returns to the heart, it enters the right atrium and then the right ventricle. From that right ventricle, the deoxygenated blood is then returned to the lungs through the great pulmonary arteries. But wait, I thought oxygenated blood travels in arteries, not in the pulmonary vessels, because the blood is leaving the heart, so it's called an artery, even though that blood is deoxygenated. The pulmonary arteries then deliver the deoxygenated blood to the lungs, where that blood is reoxygenated through breathing, and the excess carbon dioxide is also released. The newly oxygenated blood is then returned to the left atrium and ventricle of the heart via the pulmonary veins, so called because they are returning blood to the heart, even though that blood is oxygenated. Each heartbeat pumps the blood to its next assignment, either as oxygenated blood to the body tissues from the left side of the heart, or as deoxygenated blood to the lungs from the right side of the heart. Complex cardiac valvular opening and closing mechanisms coordinate the receipt of the blood from lungs or body into the atria, then down into the ventricles, and then coordinate the ultimate pumping of the blood out of the heart to the lungs or the body from the ventricles. Anything that interferes with these mechanisms will put a strain on the heart and the lungs and can lead to cardiac-associated respiratory distress. There are many, many causes of respiratory distress, but cardiac causes are among the most serious and are a reflection of that integral relationship between the heart and lungs. Cardiac-related respiratory distress symptoms can include shortness of breath, especially with exertion or when lying down, swelling of your legs, ankles, feet, or abdomen, lightheadedness, fatigue, or coughing with foamy or pink-flecked spittle. Common examples of cardiac causes of respiratory distress include heart failure. Heart failure means that the heart is not pumping as effectively as it should. The problem usually starts with the left ventricle that is trying to pump the oxygenated blood out to the rest of the body. Recall that that left atrium receives the freshly oxygenated blood from the lungs, and then the left ventricle is filled from the atrium before the left ventricle pumps that blood out into the arteries for body-wide delivery. If something prevents the left ventricle from being able to pump the blood out effectively, it can back up into the lungs, causing difficulty breathing or coughing, as well as other symptoms. Heart failure can also be right-sided, which can occur after an extended period of left-sided failure or from other causes that prevent the right ventricle from pumping blood to the lungs to be reoxygenated. This can lead to fluid buildup and swelling in your legs, feet, abdomen, and chest as the blood backs up through the veins, as well as to shortness of breath from a lack of oxygenated blood. Tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, or other cardiac arrhythmias are other examples. Tachycardia means an abnormally fast heartbeat. Arrhythmia means any irregularity in the normal heartbeat rhythm. Atrial fibrillation is a common and specific type of arrhythmia. During atrial fibrillation, the atria of the heart, the two upper chambers, beat irregularly and arrhythmically. They become out of coordination with the two ventricles, those lower chambers. Atrial fibrillation symptoms often include heart palpitations, shortness of breath, and weakness. All of these can interfere with the heart's ability to fill and pump blood out normally and can lead to fluid backing up into the lungs, creating respiratory distress. Pulmonary edema is the clinical term for fluid backup into the lungs. It is generally caused by a cardiac issue, but also can be caused by a clot in one of the pulmonary vessels. It always leads to increasing respiratory distress. All of these issues are an indication of a medical emergency and require immediate emergency medical care. There are many other causes of respiratory distress that are not directly related to heart problems. We will explore many of those in the next show. But meanwhile, let's look a bit more closely at the mechanics of breathing itself, which is how the oxygen we need so regularly gets into our lungs as part of the air we breathe. Breathing is the process of inhaling followed by exhaling. In order to inhale, our diaphragm contracts and descends lower into our chest, creating changes in the pressure inside our chest that allows outside air to flow into our lungs all the way down to those little alveoli. As part of inhalation, all of our ribs and our sternum expand outwards through the actions of numerous muscles that attach to the ribs and sternum. You can imagine that if any of the ribs or the sternum are restricted and cannot move freely and normally, this can inhibit our ability to take in a good deep breath. Exhalation follows inhalation as the diaphragm relaxes and rises again, restoring baseline pressure in the chest and helping to expel the air that is now depleted of oxygen and heavy with carbon dioxide. In the upper airway passages, from the nose and mouth down into the trachea, we do not have muscles with direct action on the chest and lungs, but we do have muscles and tissues that keep the airway open during inhalation and direct airflow through nasal and oral pathways. These are the muscles of the soft palate, the pharynx, the larynx, our trachea, nose, and mouth. These muscles are controlled by cranial nerves that emerge from the brain and travel out to the tissues they control in the head and throat. So any injuries or restrictions in the head and neck can ultimately have a negative effect on breathing with varying degrees of severity. Once the air enters the alveoli, it makes contact with the tiny capillaries where the gas exchange can occur, essentially exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide. The carbon dioxide is released during exhalation and the whole cycle starts again with the next inhalation. The act of breathing is controlled by a very complex combination of conscious control through the central nervous system, for example, when we decide to hold our breath, and unconscious control from the autonomic nervous system, for example, while we're sleeping. And that is a fascinating subject in and of itself that we have to save for another show. But you can see how much of the body is involved with breathing and keeping the lungs freshly supplied with new air and relieved of stale air. Which brings me back to osteopathy and to the close of today's show here with a reminder that an osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine can be especially helpful for respiratory issues of all kinds. Working gently with our hands, with the involved organs, nerves, vasculature, fascias, capsules, and associated tissues to release restrictions in the physical tissues of the lungs, airways, and diaphragm, and blood and lymphatic flow, as well as to help balance the autonomic nervous system function based on anatomical detail, and to help with nutritional issues and support for whatever procedures you may be going through. Recall that all of the respiratory system is a complex physical entity with connections between all the parts that need to be open, flexible, and moving freely with excellent neural conduction from the nerves, optimal arterial and venous blood flow, and lymphatic drainage to remain healthy, vital, and functioning normally. Well, I seem to have run out of time again. I do that. We'll explore more of the problems the lungs are subject to in the next show. Meanwhile, let me thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990. Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. Meanwhile, you take care of yourself, enjoy your health, breathe deeply, and thank you for listening.